CinemaObsessed.com. Lights, camera, obsession.
Yeah.
Welcome to Cinob Speak.
It's been a while since we've done the jingle.
It has been a while. It's been a while since we've done a podcast.
I know. I feel so guilty.
Well, you know, we're busy with other things.
It just, I want to do so many things.
Yeah.
But there's just not time.
Yeah. So many projects, so little time. Yes?
It's just unfortunate that this one kind of falls by the wayside. But anyway, it'll be worth it soon, people.
So this is the podcast for CinemaObsessed.com. I'm Chantel.
I'm Angie.
And we are sisters in real life who are completely obsessed with all things movies.
And yeah, and we're roomies too. We live together. We're obsessed with each other also.
Yes.
We have a sister relationship like no other. In fact, some people think we're total weirdos.
That's okay. Okay, so you want to unveil today's topic?
Well, by the time someone has clicked play, they've seen the title of the episode.
Oh, true. But I mean, still, it's part of the experience.
Today we are talking about The Charming Chevy Chase.
Ooh, are we going to call it that? Charming Chevy Chase?
If you'd like to.
I like it.
Just made that up.
I like it. Okay, so like always, we just do a mishmash and
of the favies. And I know every time someone goes, you forgot this title. No, you didn't.
Yeah, and I mean, like, we do have a pretty good roll up here as far as his film credits go, but we're not going to talk about every single one, but we'll mention. So some of them I haven't seen, admittedly.
Yeah, I know, me too.
But we have some favies, so let's get started.
Vacation. 1983. It's a good place to start.
Love it. Wally World.
Yeah.
That's always how I know which vacation we're talking about.
When we say
Wally World?
Yes. Yeah, Wally World.
Wally World. That's the first introduction to the Griswolds and Chevy Chase as Clark Griswold.
Mm-hmm.
Super funny. It's just the definition of, like, shenanigans, you know, just one after
road
another. Road trip shenanigans.
That's hard to say. Slash shenanigans.
Slash shenanigans.
Yeah.
So yeah, good times. That's an oldie but a goodie.
The part that always sticks with me is when they stop for the picnic and they're eating the dog piss soaked sandwiches. The floppy sandwiches. Ew. And isn't he trying to, like, he's standing there munching on that sandwich and he's trying to impress a woman or something. And then in the background you hear them going, "Oh, the dog peed on the basket."
Oh my god, I don't even remember
that. You don't remember that?
I don't remember specifically.
Do you remember Dead Grandma tied to the
yes,
roof?
Yes, of course. Of course. And when I saw Little Miss Sunshine.
Oh yeah.
That's the first thing I thought of was vacation. Similarity. I was like, oh my gosh. A dead relative, like, in the car? That's crazy. So obviously loved that one. That was the kickoff to obviously a stream of vacation movies, and we'll get to those. 1985 Fletch. I've never seen that
I've
one.
Never
I
seen
do
it.
Own it. I do own it, but I've never actually seen it.
Do you have any clue what it's even about? Because I feel like I don't.
No.
Is he a cop?
I feel like it's a cop type of private eye, maybe. I'm not sure. So we'll need to watch that and educate ourselves.
Oh.
But we can go right to the next one.
Okay, that was a good one. Move on.
European Vacation 1985, which we just watched recently. Again, and mm-hmm. I didn't like it when I was a kid.
No,
I didn't like it. But after watching it again recently, I laughed pretty hard. Like, the roundabout scene.
Yeah.
Where he just can't get into the roundabout. And then he can't get out of it, right? Like, he's just going round and round and round.
Yeah,
and round.
But we've talked about this character and that he never gets, like... Okay, he explodes right in Christmas Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And he has his moments, but for the most part, nothing gets to him. He's going through the most crazy shenanigans.
Yeah.
And he maintains his cool.
Yes.
Like, going around the roundabout, and then it's like 4 hours later, and he's still going around the roundabout.
And he's still chipper.
Chipper.
Like, he's like, oh, just can't get my moment, you know. The sequence where he keeps hitting people with the car, and they're all so polite. There's some good cameos there.
Yes.
Eric Idle's one of them.
Yeah,
he's the guy on the bike, and
like, blood is pouring out of him, and he's like, "Hey, just a scratch
and they're so apologetic, and it's just such a funny commentary about you know, I don't know, the English and how polite.
Oh, no. Are the English that nice?
I
Sorry to any English people listening, but is that a known thing?
I don't know. I think I've always... I mean, that's kind of a stereotype, right? Where they're just... They're so proper.
I guess.
Pardon my intrusion. Yes. That kind of thing.
Right.
You know, they're very polite in the way that they speak. Like,
they should do a Canadian vacation.
I'm sure there are rude English people. But anyways, for the most part, they're pretty polite. Anyway, that was a pretty fun one, the European vacation. My favorite is yet to come, though. We'll get to that.
Of course.
Spies Like Us, 1985, is another one that I did not see.
Bought it on a double pack.
Yes.
Lent it to a friend because he wanted to watch the other one on the double pack.
Yes.
Okay, which we'll get to that one. And then he came to me and he was like, oh my God, Spies Like Us was hilarious. And I was like, it was kind of the one on the double pack. And I was like, I'll just buy it anyway.
Because it was a good deal.
But I haven't watched it yet. Yeah, but I heard great things from my friend.
Yeah. Okay.
How could it go wrong? It's him and Dan Aykroyd, isn't it?
And yeah.
I can just picture the cover and they're like in snowsuits.
Yeah,
and
like
shit.
Parkas and stuff. Yeah.
If anyone's seen it, like, send us your feedback on it.
Three Amigos.
Well, this is like in one of my top five comedies.
For sure. Top five favorite movies of all time. This one always falls in there as kind of like under the comedy genre. So funny. So funny. Mm-hmm. I have rewatched it so many times. It's
brilliant.
And it's like, I don't even know really where to start with it because...
No. Let's start with their spoofing of a silent film. Because I think they did it really well. Like,
they're supposed to be in that era.
Yes,
that's, and they're film stars, right?
Trapping the Banditos.
First of all, let's talk about this. It's Martin Short,
right?
Steve Martin, and Chevy Chase, which is like the best trio.
It's like the holy trinity of comedy.
It is the best combination,
in my humble opinion.
Yep. Oh, I'd have to agree. So the three of them come together. They're all in their prime, like as far as their careers go. Mm-hmm. Like they're just in their prime. And so the three of them are, okay. Well, we know that Chevy Chase was Dusty Bottoms.
Yeah.
What were the other two names?
Okay, Martin Short was Ned Niederlander, little Neddy. And he had one running joke through the movie is that his character had like a child star career, sort of, or a previous film career to being in the Three Amigos. And it was little Neddy goes to war and little Neddy, you know, goes to the market and whatever. That was his franchise before the Three Amigos.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
So good. And Steve Martin...
Oh my God! What was his name? Dusty Bottoms.
Yeah.
Ned Niederlander. Lucky Day.
Was it Lucky
Day? Lucky Day. Don't Google it. Trust
okay,
me.
Okay. All right. No, I
for
trust you.
Her Lucky Day.
I trust you. Okay. Yeah.
And they had their salute, which obviously I can't translate into a podcast because they had this physical comedy.
Yes.
But it's funny.
So funny. And again, like lots of shenanigans. But they get called, they've been fired from the studio that they work for, and their egos are huge. And they get called, they get a telegram from Santo Poco. And the townspeople are calling them because they've seen their films but are not educated enough to understand that it's not for real.
Yeah.
To pretend.
And they think they're being called to do a gig.
They're being called to do a gig to fight El Guapo.
The infamous El Guapo.
The infamous.
And so they think he's a Mexican movie star, but they mean he's a badass.
He says, well, what's infamous? Infamous is when you're, like, so famous. More than famous. Mm-hmm. But really, you know, this is
They're
going to
get their asses kicked.
They're going to get their asses kicked. So it takes them a really long time to realize that...
It's kind of that time-honored film formula of, like, the wannabe gets to be. Because they get wrapped up in this shit, and then they discover, oh my God, this is really happening. In fact, I think the line is, this is real, guys. This is real. When he figures out that he's actually been shot.
When he gets shot.
He goes back, he goes, yeah, this is real.
Yeah. So funny. So, anyway, it's a great movie, and if you haven't seen it, you need to see it.
But our thesis is Chevy Chase. I mean, Chevy Chase in this movie has the lip chap scene.
Ugh.
You want to talk about that?
They're in the desert and they're riding and they've gone for, you know, miles and miles and they're all dehydrated. And in the middle of this, they stop, right? They take a break and Chevy Chase pulls out the water. He's drinking it. He's gargling it. He's spitting it back out. And the other two are like bone dry.
Mm-hmm.
And then he throws the canteen on the ground. The water's spilling out onto the cracked desert.
And he pulls out lip ground. Balm.
Then he pulls out lip balm and he puts it on. And he's like, and we're good to go. And it's a striking similarity to Dumb and Dumber when he has the mitts, right?
Yes.
He's got two sets of gloves on. And then Lloyd finally is like, well, here you go.
My hands are sweaty anyway.
Sad. My hands are sweaty. Yeah, so it's the same kind of idea where he's letting his friends just, you know. Anyway, really funny.
Good one.
Tons of good moments. Then the next one on the list I have a lot to say about, too, because okay. This is just so good, was Funny Farm,
mm-hmm.
where Brilliant. He plays Andy Farmer. It's the perfect character for him. Because he is so this eternal optimist, and he's always trying to, he's just, that's who he is, you know what I mean? And that's how he a lot of his characters,
well, that's
that
who he plays best.
He
plays
that's who he that play, that's what I mean. That's who he, yeah. that's that those are the characters that he ends up, you know,
yeah,
playing so well. That's what I mean. Chevy Chase on screen is always this eternal optimist and just like a screw up. You know,
a lovable screw up.
Lovable screw up, and that's why there's always so many shenanigans with him, because he is so good at physical comedy. So, so Funny Farm, Andy Farmer, him and his wife move out to the country, this like idyllic little town in this country home with a wraparound porch and a pond in the back, and you know he's going to take time off to
write.
To
isn't
write,
it?
Yeah. He is a writer, but he's going to take time off to write a book, and so he's working on his book. So they move to this town and. It's just...
They're miserable there, aren't they?
Yeah.
In the town?
Well, it's just, it's not what it appeared to be. The townspeople are miserable, and, you know, they find a dead body in their backyard, and it's just like Claude Musselman's buried in the backyard.
You remember
and
the dead guy's
yes,
name?
Yes, I remember the dead guy's
You're
name.
Screwed up.
Claude Musselman. And then not only do they find out that he's in the garden, because the dog, they bought Yellow Dog. Remember Yellow Dog?
Yes.
It digs up Claude Musselman's bones, and then they find out not only is there a dead guy in their backyard, but then they have to pay for the funeral. They get a bill for the funeral.
They don't have
burial,
a phone.
All of it. They get billed like $6,000. The sheriff comes to them and hands them a bill, and they're like, "What? Like, why do we have to pay for this?"
I mean, remember the phone too. So they don't have
They don't have a. Oh yeah.
They have a pay phone
I mean,
in their
it,
house.
It goes wrong from the get go. The movers get lost. They have no food. Their phone is a pay phone, and they can't get that sorted.
It's very Money Pit-ish.
It's in a sense, but it's not a dump. Their place
yeah, yeah.
is not a dump to begin with. But there's lots of problems right off the bat. And they get this dog, and then it just totally they get it home for the first time, and it runs away.
Oh yeah,
and it's just such a funny scene. Him and his wife standing there, and they're like, oh, you know, like big smiles, like it's just God. Look at this beautiful yellow lab, and whatever it is, and it just keeps on going, and then to the point where they can't see it anymore.
and the totally mailman, gone. They have a total asshole mailman.
The mailman's an asshole. He drives this like, beat up, old like antique truck, and honks the horn like his whole way down. He speeds down there
and just chucks the mail at
and
them
and just throws the mail. So anyway, when this movie is amazing, but it gets really good
mm-hmm.
when their relationship starts falling apart, right? Because they're just so fed up in this town. Everyone's miserable with them, and it's just one horrible thing after another.
They want to sell.
So what they do is they bribe all the townspeople, and they promise I don't remember what it was, whatever, a certain amount of money for everyone. It's like a $50 bonus or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
$50 bonus for everyone to participate. So they hand out Norman Rockwell pictures, and they're mm-hmm. like, this is how we want the town to be portrayed. We want you to look, talk, act like the people in these pictures.
Yeah.
And so everyone in the town is on board for it, and this family comes and stays with them, and they're trying to sell the home. Anyway, so I won't even, like, that pretty much sums up the movie, but mm-hmm. I won't talk about the ending, but it is such a funny movie.
We found it recently in a bin for $2 on DVD.
$2. And until that point, I'd still been watching my crappy old VHS. Mm-hmm. So, like...
That was a fabulous
that find. That was a fabulous find. Mm-hmm. I would have paid a lot more than that. Yeah, me and too. To find it for $2.99 was like insanity. Mm-hmm. Okay.
You want to move on to Christmas vacation?
Sure.
We're going to be the jolliest bunch of motherfuckers.
That's the first thing that comes to my mind is that monologue before he loses his shit finally. Oh my god, yeah. Look, oh, I talked my friggin' head off there with Funny Farm, so...
Oh god, I don't know if I can give a whole plot summary because I feel like it's just a bunch of family summary. That comes together, right? And like the trashy cousins and
Cousin Eddie.
And the old relatives and... The tree catches fire and the squirrel and everyone freaks out and just shenanigans one after the other. Mm-hmm. When he goes up and he locks himself in the attic and he still doesn't ever get pissed off. He's locked in the attic, he's freezing and he finds the old presents and he's watching old home movies. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's optimistic, I like
so good. Love the millions of lights he puts on the house and then the big unveiling and it's wah, wah, wah. But it doesn't light up and stuff. And the neighbors, in their super mod 80s home.
Yeah.
And they're snobs. They don't get it. It's Julia Louis-Dreyfus, isn't it?
Yeah.
And whoever the other guy was. I don't think he's anybody. Remember.
How about the turkey? The dry turkey, and they're all crunching, and it's just awful.
That's one of the best delicious dinner scenes ever.
Mm-hmm. He cuts it, and it just, like, parts open, and it's just steam comes out, and it's the most disgusting thing ever. It's
disgusting. Then all you hear is them crunching for the first... There's like 30 seconds of just them eating the driest turkey ever.
yeah, the silence. You can hear all the
crunching and stuff. Yeah. I'm trying to think what else. Like, there's so many good moments.
Doesn't someone die? Doesn't one of the old relatives die? Or am I thinking of something else? No. Doesn't she wrap her cat in a box?
She wraps up her cat. She also wraps up the Jell-O mold. the corner of the present is like goopy and she licks it. She's like, oh, she wrapped the Jell-O mold.
Ew.
Yes, disgusting. Yeah, I mean, like, we could just go on listing all the hilarious moments, but mm-hmm. there are tons. It's classic that this movie gets pulled out every single Christmas.
Yeah, it's like
Christmas time.
It's one of the best Christmas movies ever.
It's just amazing. Yeah, he's waiting for his big bonus
for the pool. To get a pool, right?
For the pool, because he works in like food preservative, that kind of business.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks he's gonna get his big bonus, and he's gonna put in the swimming pool, and the bonus is like some like coffee of the month club or something. Yeah, like that. It's something horrible. Like,
and Uncle Eddie kidnaps his boss, right?
Yeah. So then he goes and kidnaps his boss, and the freak out that he has, and that, like you said, that monologue
mm-hmm.
of him losing his shit is just so funny. Anyways,
you know what, come to think of it, pretty much every movie has him losing his shit at the end. I mean, in the Wally World one, he totally hijacks the park.
Oh yeah, John Candy's in that one.
Yeah, doesn't he have a gun to his head? And
oh yeah, it's awful.
He cracks. He always cracks at the end,
right? Oh, yes, he has his moments, right? And we'll get to another one. But, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, Christmas Vacation, too. European Vacation, I don't remember.
I don't remember. He probably does.
Okay, so I think we'll move on to, I would say, Nothing But Trouble.
Yes, which was on the double pack with Spies Like Us.
Yes. We saw this when we were kids. We were so young, and it was
scary when I was young.
It really frightened me in a lot of ways, but it was just so good that I just kept rewatching. And then, you know, it loses the scariness factor, and it just becomes...
Nostalgic.
So, Nothing But Trouble. He plays Chris Thorne, and he's a banker.
He's a banker!
And anyway.
He's in the stock market or something, and I forget how it all gets started, but he meets up with Demi Moore, and he's got his two Brazilian-air friends.
Mm-hmm.
They're Brazilian millionaires. He calls mm-hmm. them Brazilianers.
Brazilianers.
And they're on a road trip. They're going somewhere.
Chris. He's at a party, and they convince him. Demi Moore needs a ride, and then they get in on it, and suddenly they're on this road trip, and they want to take the scenic route.
Oh, right.
So they're going through... you know, this industrial part of whatever state they're in, and he ends up running a stop sign. And
John Candy, the cop,
is the cop or whatever, and he starts chasing them, and they get brought to Judge von Valkenheiser's estate, which is like a junkyard,
yeah,
essentially, and they have to stand before him in the middle of the night. And actually, I was reading up the trivia, and I guess this is based on something that really happened to Dan Aykroyd.
It was like brought to the justice of the peace.
Justice of the peace in the middle of the night for like running a stop sign. And it was obviously, this is a very exaggerated version, but this is based on something that actually happened to Dan Aykroyd, who's in this movie, who plays Judge J.P. von Valkenheiser, whatever. Whatever his name is.
Anyway, and wants to keep them overnight or something, right? Takes all their IDs and he locks them up and...
Because...
Through a trap door in the floor or whatever.
Chris is, like, mouthing off.
Yeah. This is ridiculous. What are you doing?
Yeah.
You can't pull people in here and...
Yeah. And so they... Yeah, they're being held. And, again, you want to talk about shenanigans. Like, yeah, it's a
scary, scary house. With crazy characters like, the daughter, it's his daughter, and it's just John Candy and Drag.
Yes, John Candy and Drag.
twins.
Bobo and I don't... it's funny, I've seen it a million times, and you know, I blank on names, but there's the two slimy, weird... Fat man babies, who's... I'm pretty sure Dan Aykroyd's one of them, too.
Yeah, I think so.
And, yeah, I mean, it's just... It's basically just the shenanigans that happen while they're being held captive in this house. And trying to
get the hell out.
Trying to get out because they see other people go through who get killed. They go through, like, Mr. Bone Crusher. Or
Bone Stripper. Mr.
Bone Stripper is, like...
They also end up in an attic or in a room somewhere full of bones at one point, don't they? And there's, like, skulls. And then there's a room full of IDs all taped to the walls.
Jimmy Hoffa or whatever his ID is there and all these... Yeah, they're terrified for their lives. They're just trying to escape at this point.
It's
a hard
movie to explain.
It is really hard. It's really bizarre, and you have to give it a chance. But, I mean, if you're
a dark comedy.
If you're a Chevy Chase fan, you'll love it. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's just the bonus that, you know, Dan Aykroyd's in it, because that's pretty sweet.
Amazing makeup, too, on him in that character.
Amazing. Amazing.
And he ends up, like, taking his face off before he goes to bed. Like, it's, like...
Yeah. Basically, this whole movie is, like, this...
demented,
hilarious, demented, exceptional escape. Like, that's the whole movie. So, really good. That was early 90s, and we've watched that growing up, still watch it to this day, still show it to people who haven't seen it, and they always love it.
Man of the House, 1995.
With JTT.
JTT was my first...
Oh my god.
My first co-ed crush.
Oh my god, I liked him more than a friend.
Yeah, he was in Teen Bop and Tiger Beat. Oh my god, I liked him.
Oh god, yes. Because it was Home Improvement.
So I got to, when I saw that movie for the first time, I got to see this, like, super hot guy, but I also got Chevy Chase, who I'd known since I was a teeny tiny child.
Right.
So it was like, yay. And Farrah Fawcett.
Oh yeah. It was such a sweet movie. Like, it's it was so good. I mean, plot... quick synopsis, just he's, you know, the mom's new boyfriend kind of thing, and
he's such a good guy
just trying to bond with JTT, and JTT gives him such a hard time, but they join, what's that little club they join, it's like the Indian guides or something like that, and oh my god,
but JTT makes him join it because he thinks it's like losery. He's like, I'll torture him. My mom wants me to bond with her new boyfriend. I'll torture him and I'll make him join this stupid club. But they actually end up bonding and enjoying the club and
making friends. All the other father-son combos are really good.
Yes, George really Wendt funny. Is in there.
There's the one that doesn't talk. It was weird.
Yeah, he's like a mom. That was weird.
Yeah, it was really weird. Anyway, really great movie. Really sweet. Good family movie. But I could watch this now. I have this one.
I love it.
I would still watch it. You know, it's
there's
really
something
cute.
Kind of intense though, isn't it? There's like someone that's after him, Chevy Chase, in this movie. Like someone cuts his brakes. Like there's a. Do you remember someone after him? Like,
oh, I don't remember that.
He owes money, or it was a business deal that he made that went bad, and the people are after him. Yeah, there's like a...
Subplot?
There's a subplot.
Oh,
of,
weird. That's so funny. I don't remember that. Okay. Next up is the...
Yes, here, you'll remember. They're going on the canoe trip. JTT's sitting there waiting for him, and he doesn't show.
Mm.
And he's pissed, and that's because the people had, like, cut his brakes, and he almost died.
Right.
There is that subplot.
Oh my gosh, yeah, you're right. Okay. Vegas Vacation.
Yeah, I love this one as much as And people, I think, were naysayers when they were trying to go for another sequel. And I loved every second of it.
I loved this one. I genuinely loved it. It didn't matter that the kids changed again because we got to see Ethan Embry.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I loved it as Rusty. And I don't remember whatever her face was as the daughter. But so much fun. Like, Wayne Newton in that movie, that was, like, such a great part. And oh, my God.
I'm making pasta.
Yeah. Oh, just... I can't even. Oh my God, he gives her a lock of his hair. That whole idea, this is where, talk about Clark Griswold cracking again. Mm-hmm. It's his just complete addiction to gambling, and he totally loses all the money. Ends up getting Eddie to dig up his money. They've got it buried all around his trailer out in the desert. They dig up the money, and he takes him to a casino that is, we've already talked about this when we talked about our, because we did this in our Vegas episode.
Yeah.
But digs up all the money and then takes him to the casino on the outskirts of Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's like, yeah, pick a number and what hand is, you know, what hand is it? Pick a hand. I don't know. Like, just stupid shit like that, right?
He looks at the guy and it's pick a number and he's like, 6. And the guy's like, 4.
Oh damn, yeah.
Bullshit,
and it's just like mafia. Oh my God, so funny. Same thing. So
again, he, like, no matter what shenanigans he's in, he's totally cool when he's climbing like Hoover Dam on the outside and he's like, oh, it's just like gym class, and he ends up outside swinging on a electrical wire.
Oh my God.
And then he finally climbs back up. He's like, all right, let's go to the buffet.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he's in a situation where, you know, I would have shat my pants and died.
Yeah,
of a heart attack.
Screaming for help.
Yeah, that shot of him. Oh, yeah. Oh, beautiful, spacious eyes. As he's hurtling towards the dam. But anyway, he wouldn't have survived that. But it's good fun.
Good fun.
Good fun. Yeah, the leak in the dam. The dam tour.
Yeah, where's the damn tour?
On the damn tour.
And then later they're in the hotel room and you can hear the TV in the background. Mm-hmm. And they're like, the water level at Hoover Dam went down by 4 feet today for unexplained reasons.
Yeah, because he's picked at it and then was trying to patch it up with gum and shit. You remember that leak?
Yeah.
Anyway, he's just such a screw up, but I love it. Okay.
I don't know if you've seen it, but it's on the list because I like it. It was Dirty Work.
Of course.
Okay. Well, it's like it's Norm MacDonald and that guy, and I can't remember his name, but they're like revenge for hire. Chevy Chase plays the doctor. Like, the whole point of their business is they're trying to make money to help the friend's dad who's in the hospital and needs a heart transplant or something. And Chevy Chase plays the doctor. It's a very minor supporting role. Mm-hmm. And it was like the first time I saw Chevy Chase and he had like white hair and he's older. Do you know what I mean? And
right.
I was like, oh, Chevy Chase in a supporting role. No, you're a leading man.
Yeah.
But anyway, he plays a doctor with a gambling problem, strangely enough. And he's like, you got to get the money. I need the money because the mafia's going to come break my legs. And every time you see him, his arm's in a sling. He's got a black eye and whatever.
Right.
Funny little supporting role.
Yep.
Dirty Work.
Great movie. Watch it. Really funny movie. But yeah, I mean, it's not much to say about him, but... really good. But like, as and you see here, as we're getting up in the list, there's fewer and fewer things, and it's makes really just really small supporting roles. Like, for example, Hot Tub Time Machine.
Oh yeah.
You know, I played the repairman. I was super excited when we first started reading about this movie. We were writing about it months before it even like really started filming, and I was so psyched. I was like, oh my God, Chevy Chase has got one coming. Ah. And I mean, he's credited as the repairman. You don't think he has a name.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't great. First of all, that movie was not great.
Acceptable.
It was just okay.
People are going to, there's going to be backlash because a lot of people were like, it was effing hilarious. It was the best comedy
I
ever.
Was
That's
not.
The reaction I heard.
Yeah.
Just at The Hangover. I was like, what?
Yeah.
All this fuss for this?
I didn't quite get it in the sense that, like, yes, I understood the movie, I'm not an idiot, but I didn't quite get the humor. It just wasn't my brand of humor, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So it was all right. I didn't find myself laughing out loud or anything, like, the way that I would watching, like, a Judd Apatow movie or something, but this is kind of a different crew a little bit. And
yeah.
It was a weird crew. It was just okay. Yeah, it was just okay. And I wasn't all that thrilled with his appearance because I was like, this isn't the Chevy Chase that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And he looks so old.
Yeah,
I know,
well,
I know,
old.
I know, but But anyway, so anything else you want to talk about?
Yeah, he, speaking of small things, he was in this thing recently. I believe it was a Funny or Die sketch.
Okay.
Where it was all these, I'd say, actors who were known for their presidential impressions got together, and they had, like, a reunion in... It was Barack Obama having a dream.
Okay.
And then all the presidents former presidents come into his bedroom, and he's chatting with them about certain things. So it's political humor.
Okay. Was Will Ferrell in that one?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Will Ferrell was George Bush. Jim Carrey was... Oh, I'm going to sound ignorant. Which president? Jimmy Carter?
Okay.
I don't know, but it was really good, and even Dad watched it and was like...
Was Dana Carvey in it? Because he did a really good Bush Sr.
I think so. It was a lot of the SNL crew, and he did Gerald Ford, Chevy Chase.
Okay.
So it was like all the best presidential impersonators, kind of.
That's so cool.
So it was some big names came in for it, too. Yeah. So yeah. it was a good sketch.
Right.
A little bit viral, Funny or Die, you know?
Right, yeah.
If you haven't seen that, I mean, YouTube it or Google it or go to Funny or Die or whatever, because it was really funny.
Mm-hmm. As far as upcoming, he is credited as Max Storm in Not Another movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be coming out this year.
Now, the premise I read about sounded good, but I feel like this might be a direct-to-DVD or just gets no recognition whatsoever. It's about a film crew that's making one of those Not Another Whatever movies.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, that could be a hilarious comedy. It's like making fun of those bad spoofs.
Right. Could be good.
Could be.
I doubt
he will have a huge role.
Yeah.
Like a, you know, Meet the Spartans kind of crap humor.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. I still... I want to believe that he's got more... in him, mm-hmm. but he is an older gentleman these days.
Yes, I find it hard
and
to
I
see
mean,
him that way.
I find it really hard to see him that way. And same with Steve Martin. It's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Martin Short's not doing much either.
No.
But anyway,
it's
depressing.
It's depressing because I feel like that was the golden age.
Don't cry.
No. It is sad. I'm just like, well, you know, I look at Chevy Chase now and I'm like, he's not gonna be able to be Clark Griswold ever again.
No, but they're gonna do another
never
one, eh?
Again.
With another vacation movie.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what kind of stage it's in, a pre development or whatever, but I had read that it would be who's the original Rusty? What's his name?
Anthony Michael Hall.
Playing Rusty with his kids.
Mm.
So reprising the role and, you know, a vacation movie with those kids.
Right. I don't think Anthony Michael Hall could carry a movie, to be honest.
He's still acting. He's still out there.
He's still out there, and I think, like, I've always been a fan, but as far, like, those are big shoes to fill.
I guess. But he's not, nobody could ever be, like,
a new
Clark Griswold.
No, but I still think that what we're talking about here would probably be a straight to DVD, like all the National Lampoon ones that are coming out nowadays.
All the American Pie ones.
Well, those are, yeah. Those are all National Lampoon. Like,
are
just,
they?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
I believe so. Yeah. National Lampoon. And they're all pretty much straight to DVD. Like, they don't go to theaters at all.
Yeah.
And, but, you know, still we celebrate what has been.
Yes.
For Chevy Chase.
He will live forever on my DVDs.
He really will.
Well, I have a stump to send out for you. If we didn't formally prepare, but I got one.
Okay.
Stump to send out is our game in which we just ask each other trivia questions, and that's that. Okay, so in Three Amigos, after their first show with El Guapo, and there's a big celebration.
Mm-hmm.
Really, the banditos were just like, what is going on here? And they just left.
Yes.
And they think that they've defeated them, or that the show was a success and whatever. And the villagers are like, yay, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Big celebration.
Big party scene.
Can you name the three talents that the three of them do to like, entertain the crowd?
Oh, my gosh.
Well, there's a variety of answers that I'll accept, but
right,
because they still think that they're acting,
right?
So they're still trying to entertain the crowd at this party celebration. Right.
I really am blanking, but I'll take some guesses.
Okay.
Juggling.
I don't think there's juggling.
Okay. Singing and dancing.
Partial credit, I guess.
Hula hoops. No. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Steve Martin has a lasso, yeah. Whatever. And he's doing it. And clearly Steve Martin learned to do it. Because he's swinging that shit around. Yeah. And, you know, in a showmanship kind of way. Martin Short does have a hilarious quick scene of dancing at the party.
Yeah.
But he's also sitting on the steps telling them a story about his Little Nettie days.
Right, right.
Okay?
Remember Yeah.
Oh, my God, that famous actress told me I had what it takes and whatever, and they have no idea what he's saying.
Right.
And Dusty Bottoms, Chevy Chase, is playing the guitar and singing for a group of people. How can you forget Chevy Chase singing in that movie?
Oh my God, his Spanish guitar kind of thing.
He's playing a Spanish guitar.
Oh my God, I forgot about that.
And it's just like,
oh, it's much better than that though.
Of course,
that just sounds like someone dying. But he goes like, dun.
Yeah,
the Spanish guitar. Oh, that's like hilarious. I wasn't really thinking about that as being like a. But yeah, you're right. They're performing.
The camera focuses on the three of them,
individually.
Yeah.
At this party, doing their own thing. Hilarious. Hilarious.
Well, no points for you.
No points for me, but fun to reminisce. Anyway. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a question for me?
I really... I can't... I mean, if I would have prepared, for sure. But all the things that we've talked about... I'm like, all the movies here, I'm pretty sure we've kind of touched on everything that I would have asked you. Like, I probably would have asked you, what did his crazy aunt wrap up? What are the two bizarre things she wrapped up as presents, you know? we talked about that.
Right, okay, well, you'll just have to hit me up next time with some Stump the Snob.
Yeah, for sure. I'll be in charge of that next time. I got one for you.
Okay.
I got one for you. I mean, come on, I can do this on the fly. Funny Farm.
Yeah.
1988. You've seen it a few times, yes?
Yes, not recently, though. This could be hard.
Okay, so obviously... he's there to write a book. It doesn't go very well.
Mm-hmm.
His wife hates it.
I know what's coming. What's coming. I know the answer.
What book does she write? Give me the main character.
Yeah.
His name.
Yeah.
And what happens to him in the end?
It's a squirrel named Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens to the squirrel, I don't know, but he does die, doesn't he?
Yes.
The squirrel dies.
He dies.
And her book becomes, published. And
yes, and just a reminder that his name is Andy Farmer.
Yes, she names this clumsy squirrel.
Bonus points. Where does the idea of the squirrel come from?
She goes into an antique shop in the town, and there's, a taxidermied squirrel in this shop. This weird lady is in there. And, doesn't she buy it? She, brings it home, and...
She buys it, sets it up, and starts working on her story, Andy the Squirrel. Amazing. Good job.
Good question on the fly.
See, I may not have been able to answer well, but I can think of good questions.
Good one.
So that's it. That's all we got today. Thanks for tuning in.
info@cinemaobsessed.com for all commentary, good or bad, preferably good.
Yeah, and come visit us at our website, cinemaobsessed.com. We've got everything, monologues, dialogue.
Learn about upcoming movies, movie news. You can chat with the other snobs.
Mm-hmm. We do the 89-second review for the new Hot 89.9 here in Ottawa. We see movies. They send us to movies. We dress up. We get in character to give you a review. So check those out, too.
We play games. We have a weekly game called Who Am I? Oh, God, you know what? Just go. Just go and look.
Just go to the website. We work really hard. Tune in next time.
For the Halloween episode.